Welcome back to the Breakfast with Champions podcast. Champions of Wayne is a 501c3 dedicated to pairing students with mentors in order to help students reach their goals. Enjoy listening today as a current Wayne Memorial alumna and future alumna discuss their journeys to college. Katie Cooter shares lessons from her first year at the University of Michigan, and Deja Bendolf inquires into the year ahead of her at the University of Michigan as well. Katie, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself? When did you graduate? What are you studying?
So I'm 19 years old. I graduated from Wayne last year. I'm currently double majoring in neuroscience and psychology with a minor in Asian languages and culture studies.
Okay. So. And Deja, you're finishing up your senior year. What classes are you taking right now?
I had American Sign Language, Sociology 100, AP English, Personal Finance for Young Adults, it's my fifth honor, Ceramics 2, and Human Anatomy and Physiology.
Okay. And I think the two things that you guys have in common, I was your 10th grade English teacher, and you're both going to U of M.
Yes.
And you wear glasses.
And you want to go into neuropsychology. Yep.
Well, I want to be a forensic pathologist,
Okay, but I mean, still related matters of the brain.
Yeah,
can we leave it at that? Matters of the brain.
Definitely.
Okay. So, Deja, when you walked in this morning, you had a question for me that I think we should start talking about first. The most recent thing that U of M asked you to do.
Before college has even begun, Deja's asked to write a 4-to-5-page paper. Having been there, done that, Katie explains its purpose.
A 4-to-5-page essay. Why is that? As their placement essays, I feel like two pages could tell you where I'm at as a writer. Did you have to write that?
I did, actually. It was like you had to read an article and then write an essay on it. It's not really the essay that matters. There's a quiz after that just assesses your high school experience with writing. Like, have you ever written a 4-to-5-page essay before? How many books did you read last year? They just want to give you that essay to prepare you for the kind of writing that you're going to do in college. So it's not the essay that matters, but still try.
Is it hard?
No, it's pretty easy to do.
It's college hard.
I've definitely had more difficult essays in college. It's kind of just like to prepare you for the length of the essays that you're going to have to be writing. But it's not a difficult piece to write at all. The article that they give you, there's a lot to write about.
So you haven't written the piece yet? Okay, so when do you have to write it?
I think 5 days before my orientation.
Okay, mm-hmm. And then a professor will review it, and then you'll be placed in a class, or they'll take a look at it. So you took English 125?
I took comparative literature.
Okay, did that count as your first year writing?
Yeah, that was my first year writing instead of English.
So comparative literature, if I were to say that to most Wayne High students, they'd probably maybe think, okay, compare literature to something. In a nutshell, what does that mean?
So we looked at two authors over the course of the year, just mainly focusing on Franz Kafka, and David Foster Wallace, and then reading supporting pieces as well that kind of support their styles of writing, and then kind of just looking at the similarities and differences between them and writing essays about the things in between.
And David Foster Wallace being like one of the greatest essayists. Mm-hmm. So those pieces are significantly long.
Yes, very long. Lots of footnotes.
Okay. And so was that tough or was that easy for you?
Not all the readings are generally as interesting as other ones, so it can be tough to stay focused and not fall asleep while you're trying to read them. But, I mean, it's what you have to do. In the end, it's worth it to read everything. It's not worth it to skip over things. Because then when you have the final essay, you're just trying to cram because you have to have, supporting arguments and quotes. So it's worth it to just thoroughly read everything, making highlights and notes in the columns.
So did you read The Metamorphosis?
I did read The Metamorphosis.
You read The Metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm. Very good book.
Okay. Talk about that really fast to each other.
I thought kind of like the deeper part of it was just very interesting, with the whole, like, kind of had an existentialism vibe that I was feeling. It's a very good book, I felt like.
I used it for the free response essay for the AP English exam. Mm-hmm. That was the first week, and it was about, I think the question was deception. mm-hmm. like deceit, like lying. And I just like talked about how he lied to himself and how his family lied to society and lied to him. Like basically he convinced himself that he could still live as a normal person. It's like, you're a bug. You're a bug. You're not going anywhere.
Okay. Perfect segue then. Do you ever or have you ever, 1 year down U of M, have you ever felt trapped?
No, not at all. If anything, I feel even more free to make my own choices and do what I want, and then still making the good choices just like makes you feel good inside that you can do whatever you want, but you still choose to excel in courses instead of, you know, being a delinquent.
which can be easy to do when you're in college. So what is one thing that you felt, Katie, that Wayne High did to really prepare you for college? And then I guess after you answer that, then Deja, what is one thing maybe you're scared about that maybe you don't feel as prepared for? Okay.
Taking AP English before going to college definitely helped in terms of the amount of reading that we were going to have to do and the length of the papers that we were going to have to write. And then just all the English teachers that I've had at Wayne were very adamant on making notes in comms and just making notes while you're reading. And that's something that's really helpful in college with the length of readings that you have to do. It's just, it's very helpful to make sure that you, you know, like I said earlier, highlight, make notes in columns, even just like have a separate piece of paper. Mr. English actually got me a graduation present, and it was like a little journal to write things down in while you read. And I used that while I was taking comparative literature, and it was super, super nice to just have something to make notes in that you can look back on in case, you know, you forgot the main point of something in the story.
Okay, so what I feel like Wayne doesn't prepare me for is note-taking. Everything you just said, I feel like I don't know how to take notes. Like, I really don't know how to take notes. Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for anyone to admit that they don't know how to do something. Keep listening as Katie explains her own experiences with note-taking in college and course packs, a new term for many students just beginning their journey. That's huge because a lot of people will try to write down every single thing that is said during a lecture. Did you have a lot of lecture classes?
Yes.
And so how did you take notes during those lectures?
It's not always, a lot of times the PowerPoints are posted online, so it's not always the things that are on the PowerPoints that's important. It's the things that they say in support of the points on the PowerPoint. Because, you know, they always, in lecture, they're not going to put every single word that they say on the slide. Mm-hmm. They're going to go the extra mile and say, like, you know, talk further about chemical bonds than what they have on the board. So it's mostly just the things that the professor says instead of what's on the PowerPoint already.
Well, I think you brought up a kind of a helpful hint, too, is that professors will post those slides before class. Mm-hmm. So you can print those slides, walk in, and then annotate them. Okay. There are printers everywhere on campus. I'm sure you saw that when you visited.
Yeah, and some classes, two classes that I've had so far had course packs where it's like $15 and you just buy it before the semester begins and it's just every single slide. So that way it's super easy to just, you know, it's got like four slides on a page and you just make little notes. So
yeah, so course packs. There you go. Have you ever heard that term before?
No. There you go. I didn't hear it before. Yeah. Either. But if a class offers a course pack, you don't always have to buy it. You can take your own handwritten notes, buy the course pack, worth the $15.
One of the reasons that I brought Katie and Deja together was to allow Deja to hear Katie's own decision-making process. For the past few weeks, Deja had been wrestling with the decision between Howard and the University of Michigan, and she ultimately chose U of M. I wanted Katie to reassure that she'd made the right choice. So before we go too much into college, you made the decision to go to U of M. You had other acceptances.
Yeah.
Why U of M? And then I want to capture Deja's response too, because she spent like 3 weeks wrestling with this, which was a beautiful thing. But why? So why U of M? Where else were you accepted? And then do you regret it or not?
Okay. I'll start with where else I was accepted. Lots of schools in Michigan. I was accepted to University of Miami in Florida and then like Saginaw Valley, you know, Central, all of like the smaller public and private colleges in Michigan. But I've kind of always wanted to go to U of M. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like a Michigan thing to either want to go to University of Michigan or Michigan State. And I don't know, it's just a super special school. They're like the top output of medical students in the United States, you know, more than Harvard, more than Stanford. So, and me wanting to be a doctor, that was very important to me that they're so strong in the medical field. And just the school spirit is something that everybody that goes to Michigan loves. Yeah.
Okay. And then, so what ultimately then, Deja, you had a choice between two. What made you decide U of M?
Okay, so it wasn't the most important factor, but finances, like the fact that U of M will probably be $4,000 a year in student loans versus $45,000 from Howard over 5 years. Because I want to go to medical school. You know, we're already, I don't know if we have the funds for like $200,000, but I'm going to be like in debt, like for medical school. So I didn't want to acquire that much debt just for an undergrad degree. Because what if I decide I don't even want to go to medical school? Like, I don't know. It's like, I don't want to put myself in that much debt. And then it was when I went to Michigan Days, that kind of really.
You went to Campus Day?
No, it was Michigan Days. It was in downtown Detroit. It's like right next to Wayne State.
Oh.
It was like in this library or something like
okay.
that. It's like we walked around in different tables. They had like different learning communities there.
Yeah.
So, and they had like a presentation and a student panel. And that's like when I was just like the spirit. I'm like, I'm going to U of M. Like it's it. I'm going to U of M.
Are you part of a learning community on campus?
I decided not to join and just kind of, after high school being so filled up with sports, extracurriculars, AP classes, and a job, I kind of just wanted to chill for a little bit my freshman year, but I kind of regret not joining a learning community. I think it would have been very helpful.
So what has been the most difficult thing for you since going to U of M?
Studying. I'm sure
I don't know how to study.
If you've gotten to U of M, I'm sure high school is kind of a breeze. That's not how college is. I remember in high school, even for AP classes, I was able to study for a test for 2 hours the night before and still get an A on it. So when my first biology test came up, I was like, oh, I'm just going to make a couple flashcards, you know, study a little bit the day before, a little bit the day of, and then it's going to be a breeze. I'm going to get an A. And I got a C. And that was like, every freshman goes through that because high school is so easy for all of us. And then to come to college and actually have to study, it's like we didn't expect to have to study for days beforehand, you know, starting a week beforehand and studying for hours upon hours just to get a B on a test. So that first C was really eye-opening to me. So don't make the same mistake that I did. Nobody really told me, like, hey, this isn't, like, everybody's like, college is harder than high school, but nobody really, like, told me that, like, it's way harder than high school. And studying is definitely the hardest part, making the transition from high school tests to college tests.
Yeah, so I don't study at
don't make that mistake.
Okay.
No.
Yeah, and there's got to be a name for that too. That first C or D that you get, that is really like the wake up call.
I honestly wanted to cry. I was like, I don't even remember the last time I got lower than a B on a test, much less I got a C minus. So it was horrible.
Have you? And I remember this at like even through senior year, sitting in a class, like looking around and just like listening to the things that people are saying. Have you had moments where you felt like the dumbest person in the room?
Discussion classes. So like you have for bigger lectures, you have lecture with like 300 or 400 students, and then you have discussion with just like 20 or 30 students, and then just to see a question on a page and to just think I have no clue what the answer is, and then. The GSI is like, does anybody know the answer? And then some kid just like, I'm like, that thought never even crossed my mind. How was that the first thing that came to your head? Like, it can be, yeah, with there being so many bright students at Michigan, I mean, here you can be the smartest person in the classroom. And I don't know, once you get to Michigan, everybody was the smartest person in the classroom at their high school. And then it's hard not being the smartest person in the classroom to see other people doing so much better than you, some of them not having to study as hard as you and like to still get lower grades than them. That's very hard, but that's college. It happens.
But it's kind of, it also, I would say
it encourages you as well.
Yeah. So your favorite space to study, you talked about, you know, a lot of study time, prepare for test exams. Where's your favorite place on campus to study?
Fourth floor of the Ugly. So the Ugly is the undergraduate library, just like UGLI.
They talked about that at Michigan.
Yeah, I definitely like the fourth floor because it's completely silent, and then I always get the table by the window so I can just see how beautiful campus is, and then that just reminds me why I love this school so much and why I'm studying so hard to stay here.
Do you ever feed the squirrels?
I'm sorry?
Do you ever feed the squirrels?
No, I'm not. I get scared. They're very friendly, though. I've had some, like, walk right up to me as I'm walking, and I'm just like, hi, go away. I'm trying to go to class. But I'm scared of squirrels, so no, I haven't fed the squirrels. But they're very open to you feeding them, if you want to.
Very overweight squirrels.
Very overweight.
I would say my favorite place to study, and both of you have to check this out, because not a lot of people know about it, and even if you're not going into education, the School of Education, which is on South University. I don't know if you've ever walked by it or not. Anyway, right next to the School of Social Work, which also has a great library. Their library is like in the basement, but it has kind of the windows and daylight. But right next to it, on the second floor, in the School of Education, is this lab that really only School of Education students know of. So lots of like collaborative equipment, kind of like smart TVs that you can plug your laptops into and share and collaborate. And when I was there was like all the free pop that you wanted. You just go up, bring your own cup and you were good to go. And,
really?
And we would, we'd be in the School of Ed until very, very, very late, working on lesson plans and things.
Also other places that are good for studying are Ross, the School of Business, because it's so beautiful.
They have a Starbucks in there, right?
Yeah, they have a Starbucks, and then you can use your Blue Box there, too. And then the architecture school, it's called the Taubman Building. It's another really beautiful building, tons of windows that you can go outside and look at.
For many Champions and Wayne Memorial students, going to college is a new thing and can be especially difficult when the college is far away or students are living on campus and not at home. Katie walks Deja through her process of finding support during her first year away. I guess, how is that easy for you, or how is that difficult for you being the first, maybe person in your immediate family to go to college?
A lot of people find it difficult to be a first-generation college student, but I feel like that didn't affect me at all. My sister did go to college, but she dropped out after a couple years, so I guess I'm not... I still consider myself a first-generation mm-hmm. college student. I mean, I didn't go to her for college help or anything. Mm-hmm. I've always been a very ambitious person, so I didn't need anybody to support me. Like, it didn't really affect me that nobody else in my family had gone to college, so that wasn't really affected.
And my sister, she went to college. She was once for a semester. She went for one semester, but she wants to go to EMU or CMU for, a degree in communications. I have an aunt that has her master's in social work and her bachelor's in psychology, but she didn't live on campus and she had a baby while she went to school. So mm-hmm. It's two totally different things.
You don't really find that you lean on your immediate family so much. I mean, you're going to find that you definitely get homesick, but you lean more on the friends that you make there because they're going through the exact same thing as you are right now. Mm-hmm. And, your immediate family may have gone through the same thing years ago. Mm-hmm. But it's more helpful to lean on somebody who's going through that right now than it is to lean on, your sister or your aunt or something. So.
You lived on campus your first year?
Yes.
You had a roommate?
I did.
Did you know your roommate going in?
No, I went in blind. And I know a lot of people are very scared about that. It really worked out where... Okay. We're almost best friends now. We're very close. We, go out together all the time. We'll study together. So, I love my roommate.
It's my fear is crazy and nasty. Those are the two top things. I can deal with everything else. Mm-hmm. I can't deal with you if you're crazy or if you are just unsanitary. I'm serious. I'm not doing it.
So, there's two things you can do. The first thing you can do is join the University of Michigan Class of 2020 Facebook page, mm-hmm. and there will be a lot of people posting, little paragraphs about themselves, hey, I'm excited for football games and rushing, I'm majoring in this, or I'm pre-Ross, I'm clean, this is a little bit about me, does anybody want me as a roommate? And then you can just, comment and be like, hey, let's talk or something, or you can make your own post looking for a roommate. I didn't do that, I just went in blind instead, but before... when you fill out, there's a housing survey that you fill out.
I did it already.
Yeah, you did that? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I mean, I thought that was helpful. Me and my roommate aren't not the same exact person, obviously, mm-hmm. but we have a lot of the same, like, cleanliness habits, going out habits, mm-hmm. studying habits. So, I mean, I feel like they did a good job. But one of my friends hated her roommate, so.
See, I know, and then your horror stories, mm-hmm. I'm like, with the spray painting, with the windows closed.
Yeah, and I won't talk too much about him, but that was my first semester at State. That was at State. And when I transferred to U of M, I did not have a roommate. I lucked into coming in at winter semester having a single dorm room, which I kept then for the following year, which I think was a good decision for me, but also more expensive, and that's part of the debt mm-hmm. that I have because of that. So scholarships, I think, Deja, did you mention the Hale scholarship? Or mm-hmm. Okay. Katie, yeah. Did you also... Were you getting that? I feel like I know another Wayne High student
year.
Was. Okay, this
yeah,
is.
That was the first.
They
year.
Didn't
okay.
have that when I was accepted.
Okay. Okay. So new. Okay. Exciting. I think we've been talking for like over a half hour here. Before we end, and I know you have to go and you've got to get back to class. I'm curious about when I think of your high school education and your high school experience. You both are interested in the brain, or at least you know how people's brains function. And the medical field in some way. What inspired you to do that? Was there something from high school? Was there a person? It's kind of like similar routes, and I'm just curious, like, what pushed you there?
Okay, so for me, this is so corny, but Wong from Law & Order SVU, mm-hmm. when I saw what he did, I automatically was like, I want to be a criminal psychologist, but I realized I really don't. Well, I was going back between child psychology and criminal psychology, but, you know, the summer program that I did where I worked with the kids in my church, mm-hmm. a lot of them would come to me with personal problems. Like, some kids would tell me, like, my mom died 2 years ago. And it's like, and you're like, wow, like, this is why you act the way you do. You don't know how to cope with your seven and or mm-hmm. like nine and don't know how to cope with your mom dying 2 years ago in front of you. So and that's when I was like, I want to deal with children. Like, I want to talk to kids because I feel like a lot of people, we're quick to label kids to me. Like, we're quick to, oh, he has ADHD, give him pills. Mm-hmm. Or she's crazy. Or he's bipolar, just give him some medicine, he'll be fine. I feel like a lot of times that can make the situation worse than better. And I don't know. I want to talk to children. Like, that's what I want to do. And just see what's going on up here.
I guess my inspiration was also from Law & Order SVU, but it was Dr. Melinda Warner. Mm-hmm. She is what made me want to be a forensic pathologist, just seeing, I mean, I still want to be on the criminal side of things, mm-hmm. but I also want to be the person that gives closure to families mm-hmm. and, you know, to help solve crimes, but still be on the medical side, because I've always been interested in biology and just the body in general and how the brain works. So that kind of gives me the best of both worlds, where I can still be a doctor, but I can still be on the criminal side mm-hmm. of things.
Okay. Interesting. I love Law & Order SVU too. but Mariska Hargitay and not any of the medical field actors. So in closing, who is the one person in your life that you'd consider to be part of like your support network? Who is somebody that you turn to like make really big important decisions? Because thinking about, I know when I was in college, that was probably the most important thing that I had established was a set network of people that when an opportunity presented itself, I was going to call them, talk to them whether it's a job prospect when you graduate college or even, you know, making a decision to take, you know, a part-time job. Who is that person for you?
Definitely my mom. I wasn't super close with my mom in high school, but once you get to college, it's really nice just to call that person back at home and have them, you know literally everything about you. Mm-hmm. So definitely my mom, and then my roommate is somebody that I also turn to. Like I said, we're practically best friends, and then another really close friend that I made at work. I text him whenever anything happens, so... Yeah, as long as you have a set support system, you're good. But definitely my mom is my number one.
Okay, so mine would be my sister. Like, that's, mm-hmm. we're like the same person. Like, that's my go-to. My older sister, too, because she's older, so she has a lot more knowledge about things. My mom, because every day it's a lecture, every day. And it's about the same thing every day. So I'm in the car, like, we talked about this for the past 2 weeks. So my mom, and then you would be in my support system, because I know since 10th grade, besides 10th grade when I didn't like you, I couldn't stand you in 10th grade. Besides that, after that, like 11th throughout, that you definitely played a major role, like in a lot of my decisions.
Okay. And feel free to keep talking to me as you continue this journey. Anything else you want to share with listeners of the podcast, students of Wayne High? Any other questions you have for each other?
College is great. Don't make the mistake of not studying. Don't make the mistake of putting friends and social life over academics. That's a big one. But still make sure you have fun.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I would say be your own person, even if that means you're going to lose friends or support. Because a lot of the time, I just live by, like, I guess it's mantra. Is that the word I would mm-hmm. use? Okay. Or the mantra, that no matter what you do, people are going to talk about it negatively or positively. Like, you can't satisfy everybody, so you might as well do what you want to do. Because in the end, it's you. You were...